Worship hour here. I'm going to read from Proverbs. I'm going to read Proverbs chapter 1, verses 5, 6, and 7. And it says, "A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall obtain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction."
Let's take our hymnals now and turn to number 27. "I Sing the Mighty Power of God," number 27. And let's stand as we sing this morning, number 27.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day you've given us. We just thank you, Lord, for watching over us. We just thank you for the strength and health you give us each week, each day. We just thank you for the truth, what the scriptures have, how we can come before you with prayer and ask for the substance to keep us going from day to day. We just thank you, Lord, for watching over us during this time of the COVID pandemic. We just thank you for everyone here today. We just ask you to be the Pastor Howard to bring the message. Just help us to understand and what you would have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's see.
It's so good to see each one of you here today. And we want to welcome you to Morrow Bible Church. Glad to see you here sitting in the pews. And also want to say hello to those who may be watching online. Thank you for joining us there as well. Just want to encourage you to come back tonight, in person, preferably. But if you can't, then online at 6:30. And we will have our evening service tonight. Share a testimony. Come and just share what the Lord has done by way of praise or prayer request or just something you can share with our body, church body tonight, church family. And then we'll be continuing on in Judges in the evening service. Again, Wednesday nights right now through April, we are going through the Quieting a Noisy Soul video program. And you can join at any time in person or online. We're also streaming that. You do have to have the direct link for that. to if you want to do it online. And so you can let me know if you would like to do that. There are some study guides available still here. And so those are $25 from the church. We do have, I think, two more left. But if anybody would like one, just encourage you to take it. Hard to believe March is tomorrow. This is the last day of February. And so we're already almost through February. But spring is coming, and that is next month. So get ready for the time change on March 14th. We're also planning a church work day the end of March. I think that's the last Saturday. But spring is here. It's spring cleaning and projects need to be done. And so we'll plan to have a work day here at the church on that Saturday in March. It is a blessing to have a missionary with us here this morning, Rachel Steffensmeyer. She is going to the Philippines. She's already served there for some time, and she was with us in the Sunday school time and gave a presentation, showed two videos, and talked about her work. And you can actually go back and watch that if you'd like to, as we did stream that as an unlisted stream. So once you have the link, you can go and see that again. If you missed it, encourage you to do that. But she's with us here. She's going to give a report here and show a brief PowerPoint now. And we are taking a love offering for her this morning. So if you'd like to give towards that, you can give, just designate that, and church will write one check for her just to help her on her way as she's traveling. Tonight she's going to be up in Bucyrus at a church there. And so we're glad that she's able to be with us this morning. And so at this time, we'll have Rachel come, and I'll pull down the screen. And
if I have my microphone with me. Okay, well, good morning again. For those of you who were here in Sunday school, there'll be some overlap, but maybe I'll quiz you and see how much you remember. Maybe if the kids are listening carefully, we'll see if they remember things. Okay, if we could pull up the PowerPoint, the one that says Hillsdale. So I graduated from Bob Jones University in 2016 and then headed to the Philippines about a month later to start teaching at Bob Jones Memorial Bible College. And spent 4 years there teaching piano and composition and music theory. I initially went to replace another missionary who was on deputation. And during that time, we added a bachelor's degree in music versus just having an associate's degree. And I got involved in a lot of other things and in helping create new classes. And so there's a need for more teachers. And usually, if you know anything about missions or ministry in general, which I'm sure you do, there's always a need for more workers, it seems. So the Lord is leading me back to continue doing many of the same things with the school ministry and church ministry and evangelism as well, and helping produce music for Filipino churches. So I have been on deputation since the end of June last year, and have quite a few meetings coming up in different places, and I'm excited for what the Lord has in store for me. If we could go to the next slide. You're fine. I'm always thankful for tech people, but I know sometimes technology does not always cooperate, which is hard. Is it just showing the first slide? Is that all it's doing? You're fine. So how many people? Does anyone remember how many islands there are in the Philippines? Any of the kids remember? Perfect. Yes, we'll go to that slide. Do you remember? Okay, there's over 7,000 islands in the Philippines. You can see the green, the big island in the north, the green island. If you see the star in there, that's where our school is located, in Manila. There's about 13 million people in Manila, and there's three island regions, basically, and various languages spoken throughout that area. And it is predominantly Catholic. The Muslim population lives mostly on the Pink Island in the south, Mindanao, one of the cities on that island, Marawi. You might have heard in the news in the last 3 or 4 years, it was taken over by a ISIS-related terrorist group, actually. And there was a lot of fighting for about 6 months. The island has been under martial law, I think, since then, for about 4 years. It is relatively safe to go to, as long as you don't go to that, the western area. I was in more of the middle a couple years ago to visit a friend, and that was a relatively safe area. But yes, many islands, many languages, many people groups throughout the islands. There's a lot of volcanoes in the Philippines, and one of the volcanoes just about 40 miles south of the city erupted last year about this time and sent ash miles high into the air, landing in our part of the city as well as many other places. And instead of having a snow day, we had a volcano day, which was a very different type of thing. But going outside, your eyes would sting, and if you breathed in without a mask, your lungs would hurt. Thankfully, there wasn't a more major eruption, but it's kind of starting to act up again, so they're not sure. Okay, we can go to the next one. These you can just kind of go through a little bit quicker, the next few. This is a rice field. Filipinos eat rice 3 times a day many times. There's a lot of coconut trees that are there, a lot of greenery, a lot of fishing that goes on. You can imagine a country that's made up of islands. And some people, this next picture, some people that live out in the province, which is what they call the more rural areas outside of Manila, they might live in a house that looks more like this, surrounded by banana trees, coconut trees. But the next picture is where we live, where our school is located in Manila. So lots and lots of people, lots of traffic, lots of pollution. But the Lord has allowed our school to be in that city, to be able to reach many people in that city, as well as be a good location for students to come to get training. The next picture is just another city picture. Show you, there's lots of people. This next one is our school building. For about 33 years, we were renting from another church and school. And the Lord allowed us to be able to build this building through gifts from many, many people. And we just moved in last school year. So we had 1 year of classes there and then 1 year of classes online so far. So we're looking forward to, Lord willing, being able to meet back in that building in the near future, whenever the Lord opens the door for that. But we can go through the next few pictures. There's about 140 students at our school. They get degrees in either Bible or music, and it's a ministry focus. They can get anything from a one-year certificate in Bible to a master's degree in Bible or an associate's or bachelor's degree in music. Our students come from all over the Philippines, from China, from Myanmar, Malaysia, Singapore, Vietnam, and many of them go back to their own countries or even to other countries and start ministries there. This is a picture of the class for pastors that is offered in more rural areas. And this is the group of missionaries. There's other, these are all missionaries, actually, part of our missionary team. There's other faculty. I think you were asking me earlier, maybe how many Filipinos we have, if we have Filipinos working on our faculty. And we have a lot of them. Some of them, of course, are pictured here, but some of them are just paid by the school and not, you know, actually missionaries, so they're not on this slide. But we have quite a few Bible faculty and music faculty that are Filipinos as well. This is part of our school orchestra and choir, and a few other people thrown in there as well. We enjoy having concerts and training church musicians. Many people are already teaching in their schools or their churches, and they come to get more training in ministry as well as music and music teaching. This is my composition class. This was a smaller class. learning to write music for their churches and for the languages that they speak. The next couple of pictures are some of the things that we produced as a school, trying to make music available to Filipino churches for a low cost. This book I wrote, just arrangements of hymns. A lot of them I used for my own church there. We sensed the need to provide things that were easier for churches to learn if they had a small church choir, and things that are in their language. So these are all in Tagalog. They also have an English option for those who use more English in their church, and they can choose what they want to do. And we have opportunities to mentor through our mentorship program, and through even as you have private lessons with students, the Lord opens up doors for counseling and just getting to know them better through that extra time spent with them. This is going to one of our students' churches about 3 or 4 hours away to help with a music or a special anniversary service, actually. And that also helps me be able to get to know students better and help know how to train them better for the ministries they're going to, and experience Filipino culture outside of Manila, which is different than Filipino culture inside the city as well. This is Christmas caroling, for instance. A couple years ago on another island, it was very hot and sweaty, very different from Christmas caroling here. This is the language teachers that I was able to have for learning Tagalog, the language that is the primary language in our area. It's a Christian language school, and they've been very helpful. This was an evangelistic activity that my church did, and learning their language is a helpful way to really get to know other people, even if they can speak some English. It allows you to have more opportunities for the gospel and for ministry in general. Our school has done some outreach in places like a care center for elderly people. This was a detention center for women. And we'll go and sometimes do singing and have someone preach, or we can pass out tracts. We went to a hospital as well. And using music as part of an open door. Not that we go in there and don't tell them we're going to, you know, share the gospel, but they allow us to come in and use music as a tool to also get our foot in the door to share the gospel with people through that. In Sunday school, I mentioned Ate Sally, this lady who works in the market that we've been able to witness to on multiple occasions and be able to get to know as we pass through going to language school. And this is her and her little vegetable stall in the market. It's a very hot and smelly place to work, but it's also a place that you can make some contacts as well. The next picture is a picture of my church ministry. It's pastored by a graduate of our school. He just got his master's recently from our school, and I've been involved in things like music ministry. The next picture shows the children's choir. If we could go to the next one. It's the children's choir, and then I did a little bit with Young Ladies Bible, like Sunday school. And the next one. And then working with some of the kids as well in the next picture. Telling them a missionary story, sharing the gospel through that. And then the next slide should have some prayer requests on it. They'll probably all pop up, yes. So if you can pray, the Philippines has been fairly locked down for a while and is starting to open up a little bit more. Pray that the Lord would use this time to save people. We know that he's using it for good, and pray that he would give creative ideas to people that are there and not able to go out as much, and knowing how to be able to share the gospel with people around them. And then right now, the Philippines is closed to people that don't have a longer-term visa, or people who had to come back to the States and weren't able to get back into the Philippines before their visa expired. And so there's some of my coworkers are kind of stuck in the States right now and trying to teach from here in the States with about a 13 or 14 hour time difference, and that's kind of a challenge for them. So if you'd pray with us that the Lord would open the country up so that they could get back, and that when the Lord opens the door for me, that I could get back as well. And then for us, as we continue working on music projects, that we'd be able to make good progress. And for our online teaching, for wisdom in navigating all of that and adjusting still to that, and for students who don't always have good internet connections, it might start raining at their place and they just disappear from our class because their internet goes down. And that's kind of a challenge. In light of that as well, I don't know if you've heard about what's happening in Myanmar with the military coup. We have a few students that are in Myanmar right now studying online, and they've had the internet kind of in and out, and they're concerned that the military might just shut down the internet entirely and not allow them any access to the outside. I believe the military is killing people for, sounds like, not really good reasons. So if you'd pray, I think even today, they're supposed to have some sort of big protest day. So if you pray for protection and for the gospel to go forward through this, and that our students would be able to continue taking classes still, even in the midst of all the turmoil there, that the Lord would provide for students, and then for myself, for safety as I continue on deputation. Again, I have a display, and you can sign up for a prayer letter if you're interested. So thank you again so much for the opportunity.
Let's go to number 269 now in our hymnals. 269, Under His Wings. 269.
Scripture reading, we're going to be in John chapter 14. You can read in the back of our bulletin or else follow along in your Bible, but John chapter 14, let's all stand, and we'll read responsibly. And John 14, we're going to read verses 1 through 6. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believed in God, believe also in me.
In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you.
And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also.
Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know.
Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?
Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me.
The Lord bless his word. You may be seated.
Let's bow our heads together as we look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come to you today to give you thanks and praise for what you provided for us, especially as we've just read here about the way to heaven. Jesus Christ, we thank you for providing him, for showing us this way through your word. And Father, we've gathered here today to worship you. We're also mindful of our needs, the needs of this congregation. We thank you that you know each one. You know the needs of our hearts. You know the issues that people are facing, the sicknesses, the surgeries, the recoveries, the need for comfort. Lord, you know everything about us. So we come before you today to ask for your help, for your grace. We thank you that we have your word that encourages us. We pray that you would speak to us through it, even as we consider it further this morning. We thank you for the ministry of this church. We lift this church ministry up to you. Pray that you would guide it, direct it. We pray for each one that is a part of this body. Pray that you'd help us all, again, to see the important part that we have in this body. And we pray also for the elders that you've placed in this flock, and pray that you give wisdom to us. And we pray that this church would be honoring to you, that we'd follow the direction of our head, Jesus Christ. Father, we've come to worship you through our giving today, and we pray that you'd help our hearts to be thankful as we give our tithes and offerings. We recognize your provision for us in many different areas, but also our material possessions, our finances. We know you've given everything to us, and so we give you back a portion of that today to honor you and glorify you. And we're thankful to have Rachel with us today. We pray that you would bless her as she continues on, and we pray that you'd help her to get back to her desired place of ministry there in the Philippines. And we think of that country this morning, and we pray for the great need that is there, many, many people. And we pray for this school where she teaches. We pray that you would bless that, and we pray that these restrictions that they're under would be eased up. And we pray also for the country of Myanmar, as she has mentioned that today, and the military coup that they are under, and some of their students even being in that country. We pray that you would give protection there. Pray for the gospel to go forth. Pray that there would be a peace that would come to that country as well. Lord, we pray for our other missionaries you've allowed us to partner with, and we think of them today, and we ask that the word of God would go forth, even as they minister today. And we know many countries of the world are still under the restrictions where they cannot meet, and we pray that you would sustain the body of Christ, and that the gospel would go forth. And we also pray for the need here all around us, as we are your servants sent to give the gospel here in this place. And so we pray that you'd open doors for us. We pray that you would help us to be bold and willing, and we ask you for that grace that we need. Lord, we lift up our country today. We know there's great needs here. And we think of our authorities. We think of our president, Joe Biden. We ask for special guidance and direction for him. We pray that he would come to know you as his Savior and submit his heart and life to you. We pray for our authorities here in this state and even in our community here, our county. We pray that you would guide them. I know this year has been a struggle for them and a challenge, as it has been for all of us. And so we pray that you would just give them special wisdom. And most of all, we pray that the gospel would touch their hearts and lives. Father, we thank you for our law enforcement and for our military today. We lift them up to you. We pray that the gospel would go forth to them and that you would provide them with safety and protection. We thank you for this time of worship, and we pray that our worship and our hearts would be pleasing to you. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to take your hymnal again, and we'll go to number 424. Send the light. Number 424, let's stand as we sing. 424. Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Seated. At this time, Rachel is going to come and minister on the piano. So, Rachel, if you would come. Thank you. Rachel. You have another one? Go ahead. Who wants to hear another one? All right. Thank you so much for that encore. That was a blessing. So I trust that was a blessing to you. And if it wasn't a blessing, there's something wrong with you. So really appreciate that this morning. I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles now to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. We're continuing our series here in the Gospel of John on Sunday mornings. We've come to 14th chapter. Last night I had the opportunity to preach a funeral for a man that was a neighbor on our street, he was a man that I think was a believer, and we got to know him a little bit as we lived in the neighborhood there in Fredericktown. And in fact, he was a guy who would he had a little electric scooter, and one of his favorite things was just to drive that thing. His dog would actually ride the scooter with him and ride up and down the street all around the neighborhood, really all throughout Fredericktown. Most people knew him, and he was just a guy who enjoyed life. And he was, in fact, I think one of the first people we met when we moved into the neighborhood. In fact, when we were looking at the house, we didn't know we were going to buy, but it was an auction. The people that owned the house before, they were auctioning the contents and the property, and we were looking to buy a house that time, and we went there and started bidding on the house. Nobody else was bidding, and this man, John, he came over to, I think, my wife and said, you know, don't raise your bid any higher than that. You know, just hold steady on your bid. No one else was bidding. They wanted more. They didn't think our bid was high enough. He said, just wait on it. Keep hold it there. And we went away from the auction, and they said, no, they want more. But then 3 days later, they called us back and said, we'll take what you can give us. So, but it was him that gave us that encouragement just to hold on that bit. But he was one that got to talk to last Friday, a week ago Friday. His wife had called me and said he had had a heart attack the day before, and he was in the hospital, and he wasn't taking any treatment, and he was ready to go. But he could just barely talk when I went to see him there last Friday, and he said that he wanted me to preach his funeral. He had asked me that many times, actually, if I would be ready to preach his funeral. Of course, I said, yes, I'd be glad to. And he was one who had a burden for others. In fact, he had a stack of Bibles that he had ordered, and he told me, I want you to take those Bibles and give them out to people. And he also said, you know, my neighbors, he'd been talking to his neighbors. He said, the lady there, he thinks that she's a believer, but the husband is definitely not. And so I want you to go and talk to them. And so it was a privilege to be able to speak at that funeral last night. And many wonderful memories were shared about him, but got to talk about his faith. And this was one of the passages that I read in the course of that funeral there, just giving comfort for believers, concerning a believer who has died. And this is a passage that gives us comfort in that time of death. And Jesus begins here, "Let not your heart be troubled." And, you know, the trouble that surrounds death is one of those issues, even that was faced here in this passage. Jesus, you remember, speaking to his disciples in the upper room, and he's about to go through death. The very next day, he will give his life. And this is a passage that was to comfort them, even in that time of death. And it still is a comfort for us when we go through the death of a loved one. And but that wasn't the only type of trouble that they were facing here, the disciples. They, of course, as we saw last week, just found out that Peter was going to fall. Jesus knew that he was going to fall. And now I'm sure that everybody is thrown off thinking what that will mean. They knew that their master was going to leave them. They didn't quite understand everything there, but I'm sure they were troubled. Their hearts were troubled. They were concerned. Their emotions were stirred up. And even today, people face that same trouble of heart in various situations. And here in this passage, we see the remedies for that, the remedies for a troubled heart. And in verse 1, we have the very first remedy Actually, this entire chapter we could call Remedies for a Troubled Heart. This whole chapter is a chapter of comfort for disciples of Jesus Christ, for true believers. That's what Jesus is doing all throughout chapter 14. He is giving these comforts. But we see just a few here in these first six verses. Notice what he says in verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. So we see the very first remedy that Jesus gives is the remedy of faith. The very first thing that he does to comfort his disciples that are stirred up, their hearts are troubled, he says to believe. You believe in God, believe also in me. These are encouragements that actually can both be taken as commands. They may be commands. Believe in God, believe also in me, both of them. Or maybe just an encouragement to continue their belief. You believe in God, continue to believe in me, in Christ. But either way, the remedy here is to trust, to be assured that Jesus is the Savior sent from God. These men were about to go through a situation where they might tend to question that a little bit. But Jesus says, no, the remedy here is to continue to believe. To believe in God, yes. Continue to believe also in Jesus Christ. Don't stop believing. You know, these men were believers. They had come to Christ, and we see evidence of their faith, even though it was very weak at times. And there are degrees of faith. You know, a man or a woman may come to faith in Jesus Christ, and they may have just a little bit of faith, just enough to accept Jesus, put their faith in Jesus Christ, and that's enough to save somebody. But we see through the Christian life that there are times when that faith needs to be made stronger. It needs to grow. And that's what was going on here with the disciples. They were going to go through a situation here where Jesus, their master, was going to be taken away from them. And they were going to be confused. And it would be a time where their faith would be tested. And many times that's what happens to us. We go through a situation that's difficult. We don't understand. It's mysterious to us. And our faith is tested. And I think God is saying that same thing to us here this morning. When we go through a situation like that, the very first remedy to calm our troubled hearts is for us to believe, to continue to believe in God. Continue to believe in Jesus Christ. He's the Savior. That's the remedy. J.C. Ryle, in his commentary on this passage, said, like Peter on the water, they need to look more steadily at Jesus and less at the waves and wind. That's what we need to do sometimes. We're like Peter. Remember that story? He's walking on the water and he looks away from Christ. What happens? He sinks. And the disciples were going to go through a time like that, not in the water literally, but they were going to go through a time where they're looking at the storm. They're looking at the water. They're looking at the wind. Jesus is reminding them again to look at Christ. You believe in God, believe also in me. Continue to believe. That's the remedy for faith. And oftentimes we see the waters around us. We feel like we're sinking. And this is what we need to hear again and again. So whatever trouble that you may be facing today, whatever trouble you may face this week, we need to examine our hearts and hear these words again and again, no matter how familiar they may be to you. Jesus says to us, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. And then the second remedy we see in this passage, not only the remedy of faith, but Jesus begins to talk about something else. He's talking about heaven. We see the remedy of heaven. We see several different things about heaven here. Notice how Jesus describes it in verse 2, in my Father's house are many mansions. You know, heaven is home. That's how Jesus describes it. He describes it as his Father's house. Other scriptures show us that the place where God dwells is called God's house. Psalm 33, verse 13 says, "The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men from the place of his habitation. He looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth." You know, the Lord is in heaven. And here Jesus calls that my Father's house. It's a comforting thought. It should be that heaven is home. You know, we think of home as the place that maybe you've worked so hard in your life to finally pay off. And maybe some of you have maybe finally paid off that home, or maybe not. But we need to realize that home is really not that place that you're going to go home to this afternoon, eat lunch probably. That's not really home. The Father's house, heaven, is home. Heaven is home. And we see also that heaven is permanent. It's a permanent home. See here that Jesus describes the situation there in heaven. In my Father's house are many mansions. This word mansion, that's translated mansion here, is from a verb that means to dwell, to remain. The only other place that this word is found in the New Testament here is actually also in chapter 14. If you jump ahead to verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him." That word abode is that same word for mansion here. And that's the idea behind this word. It is a dwelling place, an abode. And the idea there, one of the main ideas in that word, is the thought of permanence. It is an abode, a dwelling. You know, you may have a house, maybe you even have a mansion. And maybe you're thinking that, you know, this is going to be my final home. I'm not moving anymore. Done with moving. And that's all. Well, fact of the matter is, you will move again. And you're going to go home if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. And that place in heaven will be your permanent dwelling place. It is an abode. That will be your final home. And this word mansion stresses that idea of permanence. Then we see that heaven has room as well. It says here that in my Father's house are many mansions in verse 2. Maybe you've been in the situation where you are traveling and you need to find a place to stay at night. And so you think, well, just pull into a hotel and you know, if you decide you're going to stop driving and stay there for the night. And oftentimes when you do that, what you find out is that there can be times where there's no room. There's no room in the inn. And we've had that experience. We think, hey, we won't reserve a place anywhere. We'll just stop. And then we find out there's no room, and there's no room, and there's no room. And finally, late into the night, we find something. You know, that's not how it is with heaven. That's not how it is. There's room. There's many rooms, many mansions, many abodes. There's no doubt about it, Jesus says. This is a certainty. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Jesus confirms that. If it were not so, I would have told you. His word is enough for us. Sometimes people feel that it's not enough, and they desire to have some experience and or rely on somebody else's experience. Hey, they died and went to heaven and came back and listened to what they say. And that sounds kind of interesting. You know, we have something like that in the Bible, actually. In Luke chapter 16, there's a man, we're told, who was in hell and wanted someone from heaven to go back and warn his family. But what did Jesus say? He said, "If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead." You know, Jesus' word, God's word, is enough for us to understand that there is a heaven and that there is room for those who accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. Then we see that heaven is prepared. Heaven is prepared, verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. See here, the going itself, Jesus is there with his disciples, but he says, I'm going. I'm going to prepare a place for you. And what that would mean, we'll find out, is his death, his crucifixion, his resurrection. That was the going, and that was part of that preparation. If he had not done that, we would not be able to have a place to go. It was through his sacrificial death on the cross and his resurrection and his ascension to heaven that prepares that place that we are able to go and be with him. It gives us that access, the reservation. And then we're told that he will come and receive us to be with him. That word receive has the idea of to welcome, to accept, to have as a guest. It's kind of like actually having made that hotel reservation when you're out traveling and you go into that hotel where you know it's going to be, and you walk up to that desk and you give them your name and they say, yes, we see that reservation. We see that you've made that. And that's what Jesus will do for those who believe in him, for his true disciples. He will receive us unto himself, that where I am, there ye may be also. 1 Thessalonians 4 tells us when he'll do that at the rapture. He will come again, he says, and receive us unto himself. So we have a remedy of faith that should comfort our troubled hearts. We have a remedy of heaven. Jesus says it's my Father's house, it's home. And then a third remedy that we see here is a remedy of a way to heaven. A remedy of the way to heaven. 10 years ago, I remember we had flown out to Kansas to visit my wife's family right before Christmas. This was right before that we moved here. And we were getting ready to fly back from Kansas City to Charlotte, North Carolina, where we would pick up our car, drive back to Greenville, South Carolina, pack up our belongings, then move up here. And there was a snowstorm that hit. It went all across this part of the country. We got to Kansas City Airport, tried to get on our plane, found out all flights were canceled. We had no way to get where we needed to go. We needed to go to Charlotte, North Carolina. Couldn't get there. And finally, after so many hours, we found that our only option was going to be to fly to Minneapolis and then fly to Cleveland. And then from Cleveland, this is where my parents live, my dad was going to drive me down to Charlotte, get our car, drive down to Greenville, pack up everything, and come back up here. So that's what we ended up doing. It was quite a haul there. I don't think we've really flown anywhere else as a family ever since then. We had a place to go, but no way to get there. No way to get there. You know, for many people, they don't understand the way to get to heaven. And even Jesus' disciples, they didn't really truly understand the way. You see that way may be unappreciated by some. Verse 4, Jesus says, and whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Jesus is telling them, you know, guys, you really do know the way. You know the way. Thomas, he responds, verse 5, Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Thomas needs a little more clarification. He doesn't believe he knows the way. Jesus says to the disciples, you really do know. Why was that? Well, because the way is Jesus Christ, and Jesus had been with them for 3.5 years. He's about ready to leave them, but he wanted them to realize that they really did know the way. One commentator said, Thomas is like people who hunt for their keys and purses when they have got them in their pockets, or maybe their phone in today's day. If you ever hunt for your phone, you realize, oh, it's in my pocket. And that's how the disciples were. They wanted to know this way. We don't know the way. Jesus is saying, you have it. It's right here with you. I'm going to tell you what it is. What is that way? What is the way to heaven? Verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. The way is Jesus Christ himself. He says, I am the way. You know, oftentimes when I am having to do some shopping, you know, let's say Walmart, I don't usually go into Walmart just to browse. Maybe to browse for something specific, but usually I go into a store like that and, okay, I need cinnamon. All right, walk in the store, and where in the world amongst all these thousands of products is the cinnamon? You know, they change it. You know, they move stuff around, you don't know where it is, and, you know, but what's really nice is you find somebody that works there, and you walk up to them and you say, can you tell me where the cinnamon is? And, you know, what's really nice if they say, yes, follow me, and I'll show you. And they show you right where that aisle is, and they point it right out. There's the cinnamon. That's like what Jesus is saying to his disciples. What's the way to heaven? He says, I am the way. You follow me. But really, it's more than that. It's not just like following the leader, but it's that Jesus Christ himself is the way. It's not just that we follow him, we see that he himself is the way to heaven. It's Jesus Christ himself. And he goes beyond that. He says, I am the truth. He himself is the truth of God. Truth is that which is reality. There's no truth outside of Jesus Christ. No error, no falsehood, no deceit in him. He's the source of all reality. I am the truth, he says. And I am the life. Jesus is the life. He has the resurrection and the life, as he said in John 11. I am the resurrection and the life. We see that he paid the price for life on the cross. I am the life. And then we see that this way is absolutely necessary. Notice verse 6 again. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man goes to the Father's house except through Jesus Christ. Nobody goes to heaven except through Jesus Christ. Nobody. The way is absolutely necessary. It's not a way to heaven, but the way to heaven. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Paul says in 1 Timothy 2, verse 5, for there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And that's another way of saying what Jesus says here. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That way is absolutely necessary. If you have trouble, if you have heart trouble, whether it's literally or emotionally, what can you do about that? Well, here's what Jesus says. He says, try this remedy. Try faith. Try continuing to believe in God and his plan. Continuing to believe in Jesus Christ, that he's the way of salvation. Believe that and grow in your faith. Believe it greater and stronger and more every day. And then think about heaven. Think about heaven, the Father's house. That's home. That's comforting. And then think about the way to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Take that remedy. Take it every day, every hour. And if you do that, I believe that you'll find rest. Rest. Comfort for a troubled heart. Let not your heart be troubled. How can we do that? We believe. We see the truth about heaven here, and we see the way to heaven. Would you bow your heads as we pray this morning? Our Father in heaven, thank you that you've prepared this place for us, this permanent home. And Father, we pray that you would help us to grow in our faith. Oftentimes our eyes are distracted from you. We struggle. Lord, we pray that even today you'd help us to renew our look at you and our trust and our confidence in who you are and what you're doing. Father, we pray that each one here would put their faith and trust in the only way, Jesus Christ. We thank you for revealing that to us here. Many of us, very familiar passage, but a very important one, a very comforting one. We pray that it would be that for each one here this morning, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals now, and we'll sing number 204. Number 204, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Number 204, let's all stand as we sing. Ask Rachel if she would go out to her display there, and just encourage you to go and to look at that and sign up for her letter if you'd like that, and just appreciate her being with us today. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen.